keep entering. And the global media, honorable members of parliament, and our officials. I have received two apologies, the one is from honorable Colonel and the one from honorable September. Are there any other apologies? We have one item on the agenda, and that's the briefing by the department on its strategic plan and what it was. I just want to inform the meeting that I had a request that we should add another item on the agenda. I have discussed this with the member who approached me, and we have agreed that we should not add the item on the agenda. This is a matter that has to do with the Transnet Second Defined Benefit Fund. But besides that, I have this matter was raised with me before by members of the ANC as well, which I raised with the minister. The minister is consulting on this matter, talking to Treasury, and I don't know who else. So my suggestion is that we give the minister the opportunity to consult on the matter and invite the minister so that when we discuss this, we have to also get from the minister what or how far we are with regard to with regard to this matter. I will now invite DG to present the strategic plan of the department.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprise. I'm here with the senior management of the department who are here to assist me with the presentation.
Before we because I want us to agree on the order, that the DG will go through the whole presentation, members and whoever would like to raise a point of clarity or a question, can just jot that down, and at the end of the presentation, we will then send it to the DG.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Chairperson. But as I said, I'm here with a team from the department who are responsible for various components of the work of the department. And as then when the questions arise, I will rely on them to assist in providing any clarity, any additional information that might not be in the presentation that I'm...
I'm sorry, I'm the one who keeps on interrupting. I think it will only be in order that we actually introduce for now that you've mentioned that you need a number of people who will be assisting you. It is of quite interest for members to know who all are here, and for those of you who've never met some of our members to know who the members are. I'll start my far right there.
Good morning, I'm Natasha Benjamin from PMG.
Yes, my name is Peter Van Oren. I'm a member of this committee.
Yes, my name is Alderman Brenner, member of the committee.
Good morning, my name is Chris Hololu, member of the committee.
I'm Gloria Bowman, a member of the committee.
My name is Tisano Chume, I'm the community secretary.
Who I've never met before. My name is Peter Valleca, I'm chairperson of the committee.
Okay, my name is Eric Boska, I'm the president of the committee.
To the
read the Vatuna as the Director General of the Department of Public Enterprise.
Good morning, members. Matthias Mahulu, member of the department, working in the legal and legal staff. Carla Richardson, acting DG, joint project facility and responsible for SACO.
My name is Anthony Kapuroma, acting DG, investment and portfolio management, also responsible for DNL. I'm Chris Foley, I'm the DDG for Energy and Broadband.
Good morning, Farida Mohammed, Senior Manager, Chief Office.
Good morning, Julian Crossan, Corporate Services.
Good morning, Sandy Hutching, CFO.
Edwin Richin, Strategic Project.
Sam Maduan from TPE.
Brian Gonzalez from DPE.
Right, Spencer from DPE.
Lara Tomodisani from ESCOM.
Thank you, Chair. Morning, fantastic member of the COVID.
Thank you, the Chair. I trust that the presentation has been stipulated. And you will see on slide 2 that it's divided into different sections. We first want to locate our strategy within the historical context of the evolution of the Department of Public Enterprises. The Department is pretty much still a developing department that needs ongoing capacity building so that it can more effectively execute its mandate. So we want to reflect briefly where we've come from and where we are right now. The strength panel that looks forward, but it's important that we track the evolution of the department, the challenges that we've confronted over time. And then we focus a little bit on the role of the department. This exercise of shareholder oversight. We reflect on the challenges our country faces and as a way of locating the role that the SOEs that our other departments can play. We demonstrate how we're attempting to align with the new policy direction of the government as outlined particularly in the new growth path. We reflect on the immediate past financial year to look at what was planned and what was achieved. And then of course we focus on the future, outlining particularly the priorities for the next 12 months and so on. But the last two sections of the presentation through chair deal with some of which we know the select committee is interested in, which is the spatial provincial impact of the SOE. I'm not going to spend too much time on that part. If there are any questions that we that arise, we will revisit them. The DPE started in 1994, initially as an office responsible for implementing the privatization as a policy. However, we know that that policy was stopped, and the emphasis was on addressing the question, how can the state leverage SOEs for growth? And at that time, the area of focus was on equity partnerships, IPOs, and concessioning of particular assets to optimize shareholder value and efficiency. Since 2003, example, positioning SOEs or creating new SOEs to pursue particular industry or set of policies, and developing policies to guide the work of SOEs. Since then, what has emerged is a range of sectoral strategic objectives in the area of energy, where the objective is security of supply, in the area of aviation, broadband, transport, aerospace, and manufacturing, in particular of defense products. That traces the history. What will be consistent since that period of 2003 is ongoing attempt to balance what we call the enterprise interest, and therefore an interest in the balance sheet of the enterprise, but not forgetting the national balance sheet, which is, I think, an area going forward where we as a department will be seeking to focus and to extract value. So our work will always entail, you know, trying to find an appropriate balance between these two imperatives. If we're to outline further the role of the shareholder, the minister who is the person in whom the shareholder responsibilities invested is responsible for appointing the board of these enterprises with the approval of cabinet, the approval of significant transactions by these entities, the issuance of ongoing strategic intent statements which outline the priority at any given point in time that the department desires the SOEs to achieve, and reducing this into shareholder complex, as well as maintaining an ongoing monitoring and evaluation system on the performance of the entities, as well as enforcing accountability and when necessary remedial action. On the other hand, the board themselves have the responsibility of ensuring the nature of the sustainability of the company through the gainful utilization of the company's assets, the development of strategies and business plans for the entity, the appointment of management and staff, responsibility for executing all operations as effectively as possible, and developing appropriate policies for that to happen. Now the SOEs operate in a larger setting where other departments responsible for policy and regulation become very critical in the effectiveness of the SOEs. And this is because the funding of the SOEs sometimes requires the level of the tariff, which is determined by the regulator. And we have that has to also be balanced with the fact that the government needs the SOEs to achieve a particular priority. So that creates a bit of complexity in the governance of SOEs. However, I think best practice suggests that it's best for the shareholder role to be separated from policy to avoid potential conflicts that could arise. So the regulator has to be concerned about the interests of the consumer and the interests of competition. But all of these have to be balanced with sustainability of the employee. And this is an area that presents particular challenges and requires ongoing attention in the work that we do drive particular investments in key areas. They are there to enable continuation of strategic intent. As another indicator, this depends on a commercial target to ensure that the infrastructure is built in a particular sector, that the sector requires possible pays for that infrastructure. But the employees can also leverage product capital markets. They can partner with the private sector. And this, these are some areas which we are beginning to look at to leverage value. They can incentivize and ensure management discipline. So we will be focusing on ensuring that these are well-run enterprises, because if they're not well-run, then we won't be able to achieve the objectives that are set. In regard to network infrastructure, we hold the view that these SOEs, through these SOEs, government can ensure that there's adequate investment in infrastructure. Further down the line, we'll show you what the gap is in regard to what has been the pattern of the investment in infrastructure in our country and what the needs of the economy are. Clearly, there are possibilities to unlock growth of the economy, and this area has been identified as an area where we can ensure more improved outcome, as it were. The objectives are here to ensure the security of supply, where the market itself cannot deliver this to sufficient scale, and the private sector will have a particular risk profile that may in fact undermine the achievement of our goals with regard to infrastructure and its role in driving growth. Our challenges are here. We've indicated we have to be growing our economy, we have to be creating employment, we have to build industrial economy and ensure that transformation. And let's look at all of this. SOEs do have the capacity, the capability that can be leveraged upon, and that's really the intention of the current administration and the department going forward. This is framed by a number of policies. We know that since the onset of the current administration, a new methodology for monitoring the work of government has been put in place, and around 12 outcomes, one of which is in the area of infrastructure. The ministers have concluded performance agreement partners within the cluster are working to particular delivery commitments. Underpinned by the new growth path, which outlines some of the immediate, medium-term, and long-term actions that are required to ensure that we keep the economy growing, as well as particularly focusing on the industrial policy action plan, which identifies specific ways in which the SOEs can contribute to industrialization and growth. Slide I was talking about that demonstrates the gap where infrastructure was growing at around 5% between 1994 to 2004, when in fact the benchmark that we should have been growing at 10% of GDP, that's leaving us with we adopt is that, in fact, SOE, through their investment and therefore the demand platform that they can provide in the economy, can drive proportionally much larger total investment in the economy through the signals and the incentives that are provided to their customers. And we know that in that regard, there is a lot of pent-up demand that is looking for supply, fast supply, as well as the supplier industry that provides various products into such a good product. This is a new strategic emphasis of the department. This is a direction which we are currently articulating, and we'll be seeking to embed this in the oversight frameworks that we're developing. Well, we're mindful of the work of the Presidential Review Commission on SOE, which will be next on the work we do going forward. And we're hoping that what that can give us is the possibility to strengthen this ratio cycle of increased investment championed and led by SOE that unlocks investment in other parts of the value chain, thereby ensuring that we keep growth at positive and high levels and in an ongoing process, looking as far ahead as possible. The department's vision, therefore, is to provide effective shareholder oversight of the SOE to support and promote economic efficiency and competitiveness. However, as we indicated, we think it's possible to drive, massively drive investment and transformation through ensuring the best investment, which I've indicated, where we leverage the capabilities that underlie investment in the infrastructure. We want to enhance the vision of the department, reflect the fact that they have a unique ability to unlock growth in the economy through the growth of customers and supply. Now, with regard to specific things which we propose to undertake to pursue these objectives and to align with policy going forward, we want to distinguish between the current scenario. In the current scenario, the planning of investment is constrained by the balance sheet. The planning is located within the constraint of the balance sheet. However, this prevents us from leveraging investments that we could get from the customers. Some of the customers, the SOEs, have huge resources, investable resources that we can leverage upon. This has been done in other jurisdictions, and so there's no reason why we should also be doing the same. And so the overall result is suboptimal outcome, shallow industrial capability. We want to move to a new framework where, based on the consistency of planning within the government, we can leverage multi-stakeholder funding, both in the private sector, the financial markets, as well as in the customers of the resources. And in this way, we're able to lead investment rather than follow a limited approach based on the shareholder, so the balance sheet of the resources. And that's really the kind of approach which we are gravitating towards as systematically, where as soon can leverage funding and investment in the value chain. Specifically, there are a few things that we will have to ensure that are done. We will have to ensure that planning is conducted in a manner that unlocks customer growth. And so the whole area of planning, how we have approached planning, is going to be important. We will be engaging with the National Planning Commission to ensure that to enable this, we put in place much clearer and consistent long-term planning in the area of infrastructure. We will look at innovative funding mechanisms, as I've indicated, involving the customers and financial institutions to drive a lead investment in infrastructure capacity. We will look at leveraging procurement. We think that there are enormous inefficiencies in the way SOEs conduct procurement, and that there's scope to leverage this area to facilitate more optimal levels of investment and impact arising from procurement. The productivity improvements in particular areas of the operations of SOEs are important. That's something which we started to look at, in fact, through the various instruments put in place in the department. We also think that the scope for SOEs to play a much stronger role in promoting transformation, particularly with regard to skills development in the economy. I've mentioned the policy and regulatory environment that needs to be conducive to all of this, so our engagement with policy departments going forward would be a lot more focused, a lot more targeted. Then, of course, we are looking at concluding or facilitating compacts between the SOEs, customers, suppliers, and other relevant stakeholders around this new vision. For the department itself, we will be looking at effecting some tweaking of the structure of the department so that we create the capacity that can enable us to pursue this new direction which we want to go. We will be looking at identifying and launching a catalytic project in the area of investment in infrastructure. We will look at providing decisive leadership and ensuring that the work that was done here around the government shareholder management model is maintained as far as possible, and we're hoping that once the PLC has done its work, we will revisit this area. We will optimize the capital investment and operational efficiencies in the SOE. I've referred to the policy regulatory environment. We will ensure that the department maintains an effective knowledge management system, both for the department and the SOE. We have a commitment to undertake specific actions in regard to the outcomes of infrastructure in the context of the performance management evaluation, in government, which I referred to earlier. Now, here, the slide speaks to some of the challenges that we will confront, or rather that we foresee going forward. I think that there's scope for us to work a lot more smartly with the policy and regulatory departments to ensure that we create a robust environment to achieve this new bold vision. The DPE has a very specific approach. It's the only department that has got one mandate of the shareholder. And that needs to be distinguished from the mandate of other departments. But it needs to be a mandate that is effectively capacitated, effectively enabled. have the necessary capacities and capabilities to pursue this vision and to exercise a lot more effective oversight. We need to understand the environment in which SOEs are operating. Some of them operate in highly competitive, fast-changing, and challenging commercial environment. We need to be at the cutting edge of understanding and analysis of the environment. The technical skills of the department are a challenge, and so we're going to need to be looking at innovative ways of attracting and retaining the technical expertise in the department. As I said, this is the department that is very much in development, so we need to give them its technical capacity. We will look at ensuring that we are part of either departmental coordination processes in government to ensure that our mandates are aligned. We will have to contend with the impacts of the recession on some of our SOEs. Some of them took a knock as a result of the recession, and we will need to be addressing some of the effects of that. I now want to flip very quickly through the last financial year to look at what was planned and what was achieved. And I won't spend too much time here because I think the first is what we're looking forward. But you'll see that in the area of electricity generation, which very fits to the role of ESCOM, that already some capacity has been commissioned. And this is really looking ahead in terms of the integrated resource plan. There's a new integrated resource plan that's underway. So we'll be engaging with that, but it is currently capacity that ESCOM is currently deploying. We have said that we will begin to introduce a regime for independent power producers. Ongoing work, ESCOM has already ring fenced activities that speak to procurement. We think that this in the coming period will be expedited on the back of this decision that the cabinet has taken on the IFP. We had committed to wind down the PBMR. That work is ongoing. The company has been downsized to 9, and work is going on to publish the IP to prepare it for care maintenance. The restructuring of DNL, we've been reviewing the business model for DNL, looking at resolving the challenges of DNL's aerostructure. Looking at the board of DNL, where there are gaps, we're busy currently addressing those gaps to fill in the vacancies on the board. With that, we will review the remuneration systems of the SOEs. A panel was established, which has concluded this work. And we are in the process of undertaking further consultations. I've referred to the appointment of CEOs and boards. This is ongoing work. At any given point in time, a member resigns, a contract comes to an end. This is work that will always be on our radar screen, filling the capacity in the board so that they can take their roles, etc. With regard to ALEPSO, there is an agreement with the external community that is currently being implemented. It's ongoing work. Various items remain to be concluded in that regard, so that area will be ongoing work
taken a study which has just been finalized, and so we're engaging with the recommendations of the study. We will follow through in the coming period with the phase 2. We have, in regard to freight rail, implement the monitoring system based on interaction with the various stakeholders, the customers, with targets and indicators for the efficiency of the very great corridor of the National Corridor Performance Management System. We are also working with the Department of Transport to develop a framework for branch line. Again, this is ongoing work. We hope to undertake further work in this area and hopefully achieve particular quality decisions to make progress in this area. With regard to SAA, we've asked the airline to outline scenarios for the South African Airways technical. We've engaging with them in the field ahead. We've approved three propositions, some of which have started to come on stream. We are continuing to look at deliberation on SOE procurement and investment to align with particular industrial policy objectives. The committee will probably know about competitive supply development program, which is intended to align with the procurement of SOE to the industrial policy. With regard to sustainability for the investment program of SOE, we are developing a capital structure framework to predict the amount of capital that will be required given the investment plan for the we are hoping to leverage a lot more from the private sector in the investment plan through in particular with respect to ESCOM, the power purchase agreement. Some of this has begun to take off. This was the project for the period that we've come from. And then we'll see going forward the budget reduces quite significantly because the transfers that are indicated there will have been concluded, and therefore we don't expect that the department will budget for very large transfers to the SOE. I want to focus on the future. Starting with the high level organogram of the department, that shows you the leadership of the department, minister and deputy minister, as well as the different branches or divisions of the department. Some of the people that are here with me in the room are responsible for those sectoral areas. This speaks to the human resources of the department. The establishment at the 10th of April last year, 108, we are proposing to increase that in the period ahead through the introduction of new positions in the past. Our vacancy rate is indicated there, 12%. This is lower than the public sector vacancy rate. However, we are intending to ensure that particularly critical positions at the top echelon of the department are filled. So filling vacancies will be an ongoing activity, and we'll ensure that our HR unit is capacitated to improve
speak to the employment equity statistics of the department. Pretty much on target in various areas. The employment equity is not a major concern in the state department, but it is something that we will continue to focus on. This is the medium-term budget. As I've indicated, it drops quite significantly in the years ahead, starting with the generic unit ahead of us, 10, 11, where it decreases from just under half a billion to the final, the quota for the billion. And again, as I indicated, this is a result of reduced transfers to the SOC. There's a slight offset by increase relating to compensation of employees, as well as the growth of our establishment from 125 to 181 in the period. This speaks to the current classification, where it has explanation of our expenses for Samatra. If there are any questions, we'll come back. This indicates the last set of transfers that were effected in the period, immediate period lineup. The largest being the allocation to GNL and broadband and infrastructure. PMR and visa commissioning expenditure starting with 15 million in the ending financial year. This is a pie chart of the portion of total transfers. That's the largest has been PBMR, followed by CNL, followed by SAA, as well as broadband. Now, I want to move on to the priority in the period ahead. Starting with the administration. This is the area that provides the capacitation and support activities of the department, where we manage the financial resources of the department, and we're hoping to continue to allocate cost-saving initiatives in the field ahead, talking about the attraction and retention of specialized services, an area that we will be prioritizing capacity programs. We have introduced the internal risk management framework. We will be maintaining effective and efficient knowledge management system. It is important that departments, as we have started or have begun through institutional knowledge, we'll be enhancing a performance management system. The department maintains a different performance management system, which will actually enhance and stress the life of the priority that we have to attend to in the government. Compliance is very important in the DPE, both departments want compliance with the PMA treasury regulations, as well as compliance of our SOP, as well as the targeting effective IT. The chief investment and portfolio management area is responsible for ensuring that we maintain sustainability as well as alignment of SOEs with the strategic objectives. So we'll be building on frameworks that have already been developed, the logical planning framework, which you'll see in one sort of video. Focus on effective investment processes and shareholder value communication and commercial viability of the
targeted regulatory stability for the network infrastructure, the implementation of the planned claim settlement with regard to the Fasals area. I'm directing Alex to focus on sustainability, to seek opportunities and new activity. This is the logical planning monitoring evaluation cycle, which starts with the coordination of the government, which leads to the planning and all of the objectives that are set, which then are reduced into the strategic intent statement which the minister issued, which is then further elaborated in the shareholder complex, and then the SOB corporate plan, and then we then monitor the performance within the that framework, relying on the number of tools, the quarterly reports, the dashboards, as well as the AGM of the SOB. And then that becomes a virtual circle. Hopefully over time where we set our particular improvements and improved outcomes. This is the budget for this program, which will increase at a very modest rate of 3.6%, mainly due to inflation, as well as the savings are referred to cost saving measures that will be undertaken in this part. Area of energy and broadband enterprises focus really on platform and infrastructure. And again, as I've indicated, this is to ensure that the current sales problem of ESCOM is undertaken in the most efficient and effective manner as possible, and that we need to implement the decisions around the TGMR, which is to prepare it for care and maintenance as already approved by the Parliament. ICT broadband sector focuses on InfraCo, where the oversight is on the agreement between parties, the business plan, monitoring the national and international long distance network, as well as providing the overall shareholder management. The priorities are to develop the engineering system and construction management capacity within the unit to enhance our oversight over the SOEs that are present in this area, develop a sector risk assessment capability, define a control within the supply system in light of the integrated resource plan when we can evolve, especially with regard to nuclear program. Unlocking private sector participation in electricity supply in the immediate and longer term in partnership with ESCO. Resolving the whole issue of the relationship to broadband in software and center within the industry, as well as exploring possibilities of constructing partnerships and cooperation between the two. This is a budget period ahead, and as you see, what if you take out the allocation to broadband and travel of 188 million in the past financial year, the budget drops quite significantly in the period ahead. Legal and governance is the area from which our overall oversight framework and governance is budget. Again, the budget declined over the near term as a result of the last transfer to Alex with regard to the settlement of the agreement. In my restructuring, we've related to the activities of the app, as well as the subcon, where the type of ensure that the alignment with the government institution can be on targets, and the exploration of the role of the NAL in the industrial development of the country, manufacturing of particular manufacturing, ability. Priorities with regard to defense sector to facilitate financial operations and sustainability of DNL, to review the DNL board to ensure that there is a credit scheme, to review the strategic direction of DNL and develop a turnaround plan to indicate how DNL will achieve commercial sustainability, to ensure that structure, and tends to commercial viability as well as their dynamics, to ensure optimal alignment between the else supplier and the company. The Department of Defense is a very important relationship with the Department of Defense. And to facilitate the process of defining the else future role in the economy, the private stakeholders. The fourth sector again is to look at how software can be turned around so that it achieves financial and commercial viability. To provide clarity on the future of software, in view of the fact that about 10% of the forestry land area is under maintained, the defense is really concerned software. The question of what is going to be improved in this new environment. The facilitate disposal of minority shares by irrigation department of land and rural affairs. This is a budget for this area. Again, the future cost is the transfer payment. In this kind of thing, which is where the budget drops quite significantly. And there will not be any future transfer. Transport enterprises, the purpose is to ensure the alignment of the corporate and the performance of Transnet, the daily effort with government. Provide shareholder oversight of Transnet, shareholder oversight of FAA and some of the experts to deal with various legal government issues. In regard to priorities, with regard to Transnet, to address the modal imbalance by focusing on rail price improvement program to increase the market share to 12%. Million pounds by 2040. This is through the Minister of Labour Agreement. This is critical also for improving the competitiveness of Alaska as well. Improve efficiency, reducing operating costs and stimulating economic activity in rural communities where the Transnet branch and network is located by seeking ways to bring in private sector operators in the country. The introduction of a private operator in Guadalupe as part of the strategy to establish Guadalupe as a strategic segment of Canada. The area of aviation is to develop the strategic model for the DNA, as well as the options ensuring that the technical, the multi-element worker project which goes on Jumashiland, mainly to provide for the kind of support to congregations in the organized responsibilities with them. The next area is the what we call the joint project facility. This is where the departments allocate new groundbreaking policy and program and initiatives. And so that we provide thought leadership and allocate necessary policy research to align the work of the department and the work of the committees with the priorities of government that align in the case going forward to the new compact. The JPRF provides program management support for a number of academic projects that align departments and national economic strategies. The priorities are to ensure that the departments and SDG contribute to the new compact with respect to their work around youth development and transformation. On youth development, procurement leverage, as well as looking at how the more domestic strategic leverage the African market, and looking at the impacts of the FOE and on the income and provision economy. This is the budget, it's a very small budget, mainly to allocate the research, in particular research in a very specific area of the renewable, as well as initiatives that will arise from the renewable power. I think this concludes the main part of the strategy. As I indicated, the rest of the presentation deals with the impact of the various systems on carbon systems, especially in terms of the economy, the macroeconomy more generally. I want to present the any questions we can give you. I'm going to leave it there. And, thank you for your attention. I hope it doesn't too long, but I'm sure we can engage with any questions. Thank you.
Let me just check if anybody from your side did you would like to add on this question. I just want to thank you for the presentation. Let me welcome members who just arrived to the maybe before I allow members, let me raise my you mentioned your contribution of so I just want to find out let me first start. The state on this, in their share of a contract, you just signed it with whether or not you know the job creation is one of their key factors, whether or not you will have access. But they will have access to the 9 billion that the finance actually the 9 billion and the 5 billion that the youth subsidy. Yeah, that's it. I don't know how many. All of the former, all of the
We'll have two rounds.
A lot of work has gone into that. I want to perhaps just start, and I'm doing this introduction because it relates to my next question, and that is in your strategy report here, under the situational analysis, and you've referred to this in your presentation today, you say the Department of Public Enterprises requires high caliber on specialized skills to carry out its mandate. You go on then to say the department is limited in its ability to attract and retain such expertise when compared to the private sector. Now, I'm just wondering how you are going to be dealing with this, because I know it can be a very difficult one. And then related to that, I would like to ask, and this is all to do with your human resource, what is the morale of the department like in view of the work that's being undertaken by the Presidential Review Committee? And there have been quite a number of changes. And I ask that question in the light of your reference to efficiency and productivity and sharpening up everything. Because unless we get that staffing really motivated to speed up what we need to do, and within the infrastructure that we've got to develop, you know, through the SOEs, there's big money there. We need to have those proper skilled people in positions. And then I also had the question about the 9 billion and the 5 billion. And then can I just ask the job targets that we are talking about, will those be incorporated into the state enterprise shareholder compact? Because then we will be able to also monitor that a little bit more carefully. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank also the presentation by the PG. Say that I think that the plan is clear and sound, and it looks beautiful. I know that there will be challenges on the way, but together I think we can achieve more, working with us in trying to solve some of the problems. My question. It's on the Apex for in fact I'll be interested to be finished more of the latest developments between the department and the Transfercom. I'll let know more about that. And then the second one, beyond the filling of the vacancies, I think it would be very, very important set time frames for the department as to when exactly I think of the uploads are important. And then the last one, Chair, it's on the child part, pie chart, whereby I realized that on the 2004-2005 PBM allocation seems quite a huge chunk. And of course, we all know that the project was discontinued. The PBMR is no longer there. So now, my question is, we did spend a lot of money on PBMR. I just want to check into how much of the money, which was approximately 11 billion, how much can we get
test of this kind of thing. I've come across many presentations on this subject, but this is a change of mindset, which is very, very assisted now over like one. And the question that would be a precursor to these questions takes us from what subject? Of problematic setups. Sustopoila, Digi, Inula SMQT. You get a trust fund that receives money from Alexco, and Alexco cannot account for a cent of that money. Alexco doesn't know who manages that trust fund. In fact, known in the Northern Cape, people are scared of each other. And I don't know how can that be sorted out. You have a situation, you are outlining the development there in the township, the subdivision and zoning of the township, managed by Alexco. And the worry of this committee has always been that that work should be done by the profit that Alexco makes in that mining business. But it's not the case. Yourselves, the department, are funding that project, and Alexco is just managing. How long is that going to continue? Also, Chairperson, I've already mentioned that nobody knows who is overseeing that trust fund. The same applies to CBA. What is it trying to, government is busy trying to assist that community. That community knows nothing about government initiatives to take into account all these issues that you have outlined today. How can we make it a point that CPA 68 members, the executive of 68, are not under shepherds. They report to the communities that they paid to serve. The last one, I'm asking this last one. I'm not going to ask another question, Chairperson. I've arrived this morning from Good South. So I'm a bit drowsy. How is internally in the department, DG, how is your legal and monitoring section assisting you in all what I said? And over and above that, how do you work with your sister department, like mineral resources, because you are together in the Northern Cape side, that is not benefiting the people of the Northern Cape. If there is no working relationship, how can we help to create that working relationship, that interdepartmental initiative that will take into account the plight of the people of the Northern Cape? Thank you very much.
Before I allow Mr. Mukwege, do you want to respond to this, or do you want to come?
Thank you, Chairperson. I admire the energy and the alertness of the man who comes from Queenstown this morning. He's too alert and too energetic. That's good. Chairperson, quickly, I've got a number of questions, but I think I will provide them to the gentlemen.
Navigating this big ship of public enterprise, which, as we all know, has got that high profile name that goes beyond the nine SOPs that you are superintending, but there are more than half of it. All these SOPs dispersed all over the country, the US ministries, and municipalities, and some of them don't really know. Now, the next point is. It's true from what I've just said now. Namely that matters have made a very encyclopedic presentation, very, very powerful. Not that you won't follow up, but I would have loved you to comment a little bit about your comments, your interaction with the presentation of the few committee. I assume that you obviously have a lot of meetings with them. Come to the studies workshop that the control committee organization quite. And the Asian Americans and the thoroughness of America. So they need to provide a lot of challenges that challenges in German just remind ourselves that we as a control committee invited by that to make a submission there. So it's a very important point there.
That gives me then another point of litigation. I'm heading a team. You've got somebody who is in charge of the legal matters. I'm impressed by the CEO of the presentation show that you're consulting your own leader who just throws yourself in your room
and adopted the Shakespearean approach to
prepare this situation with other people. Now, litigation,
no one.
How much of that, so let me start with the obvious one. The pet subject of Honorable Fandale here, which is very, very important, is the theft of copper. Now, we are in the state workshop at several points, and the minister informed us that a bill was being formulated to criminalize the theft
any outstanding court cases with the nations. In other words, whether you took the department or anyone with the court, and so what are the cases? Number three, and still in the litigation, are there any outstanding court or judicial compliances that are there? In other words, where you go to court and the court says, maybe thou shalt comply what you do for five, and so how far are you in that process? That's part of our oversight. Now, let me also come to the point of staff turnover quickly, Jefferson. Mr. Matuna, we have been worried for the committee about this revolving door of personnel, letting them know from this department to this, etc., and practice on the health system, and so on. And the objective is to remove that we may go out. Now, what contingency plan are you making to show that the people can get the husbands to hold this talent and then participate in the and particularly that, you know, this is not contract very well, what does one mean, that people sign contracts 3, 4, 5 years, etc., etc., and there's no security in them. That's why perhaps people don't perform also up to my interest. As they are employed, they need to look at the newspaper from the website to look at vacancies. That when my demographic comes to an end, where I'm going to work. And that should be aligned to the public service, way of doing things, etc., etc. I think let's not hope the floor of this. Let me stop there. And if there's an opportunity, I'll ask our questions in the next office.
Thank you, Chairperson. On your slide, my page 15, your slide 30, you talk about the 50 million for legal and governance. And then later on page 24, on slide number 47, you set out that 50 million. And then there is a public corporation and private expertise, which is 36 million rand. You go at compensation for employees is 5 million and the goods and services is 8.5 million. That 36 million, and I would like to know what that is for, as it seems very excessive. 50 million or 36 million rand is a lot of money just to get some legal advice, you know. So I would like you to explain that 36 million rand. Then as a department, you oversee the build program, which is going to be more than the yearly budget of this country. I mean, it's 800 billion rand plus minus. I mean, 100 million here, 100 billion there. It doesn't seem to matter in this department, as anything gets quite expensive afterwards. So you have to manage that. And how confident are you that, it will have the desired outcomes? If we're going to spend the whole yearly budget of this country on something to build, how sure are you that it's going to have the outcome? How confident are you that we can afford this? I mean, can we pay it back? How long, how many years are our children going to pay on this lot of money? And I mean, you as the part dealing with it. So, and then the question of the broadband infraco, and the question about the CEO and the directors awarding themselves contracts. There's a Deloitte report that says it was about 50 million rand. When will we be briefed on this? And as I see this as our oversight role, that we need to know what's going on about this. And how good is your oversight role that it was allowed to happen? And are we going to get the money back? And then the previous minister also promised us that the remuneration panel was going to come back to this committee and going to brief us on the outcomes of this report. I see that the report is now done, but we still haven't heard anything about it. Or is that not part of our duty? I see it as part of our duty. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, if we take the budget of the department into consideration, and we specifically look at the remuneration or the
expenditure for personnel is on the way to between 40% and 50% of the total budget, which is quite huge. And I would like to know from the DG, which I didn't see in the presentation, how many chief directors and how many directors are employed in this department. Chairperson, then I must say, I'm in the committee now since 2007, and year after year, with all due respect, Chair, you know, we get these very smart presentations, and many a time we talk about the refining, rethinking, turnaround strategies, new appointment guidelines, reform policies, etc., etc. But I think, you know, it is common knowledge at this stage that we haven't got public enterprises and performances that we can really brag about. So they are there. They face us numerous problems, but it seems as if, you know, we can't get up the hill or get over the hill. And ministers, you know, we've got a couple of ministers and DGs, personnel running those public enterprises. But I would like to know from the DG, what is the intention from him and his personnel at the department to move away from the, let's say, the past style of management into a new approach, so that we can really measure the increase in the output, the performance, the productivity of public enterprises. And those public enterprises that do not perform, you know, to sort of get rid of them. And those public enterprises that are really concerned to make them healthy structures that can contribute to the economy, so that we can show the outside world that public enterprises in South Africa, you know, positive and it's on the way to a new approach. Because there's no purpose for us just to have public enterprises for the sake of it. There must be some aim, some targets, and we need to get there. At this moment, as I said, I think we are highly improved and not on a real performance. So your new vision and how we can, how you will come to us the next year or the next 2 years, because the year is really short for a huge public enterprise to show their performance, but at least to come back to this committee in the future and to say, listen, this is where we were, this is what we've done, and we're on the way forward now, and to establish a new mission. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for accepting my apology earlier on. Also from my side, thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, the department is presenting their strategic plan not very long after the portfolio committee, together with the minister and the entity, had a strategic planning session on our own, and it gave the portfolio committee quite a bit of insight into the plans of the department as articulated by the minister, but equally so also on the aspect of the job creation, what the entities are saying. And so whilst we are happy that we had that interaction, but I think that interaction we were taught quite a great lesson about the state of the entities with regards to job creation. I would want to ask Chair if the department would share our view that we need to ask the entities to appear before us on a quarterly basis on the job creation aspect. If I may express a view, in particular, SAA has much to be desired about what they have presented to us there, and we think that the department needs to do much more in terms of the huge procurement possibilities that the South African Airways has, which has not been thought of optimally at that workshop. In the same breath, Chair, the department is being looked upon to implement a changed vision in this economy around infrastructure, and not simply infrastructure, but infrastructure where it's going to matter for the country and for the people. And so we think that it would be onus on our side to make sure that we keep quite a close watch on this situation. We think we need more than what was presented to us the last time. Having said that about the job creation aspect and what we need to roll out there, whilst welcoming the department's presentation, the question is, to what extent, what capacity is the department putting together to firstly roll out this entire program, but secondly and more importantly, Chair, to do oversight on the entities? And what program is the department bringing about to do oversight on the entities? Are you going to change any legislation on the shareholder compact? But do you envisage any legislation? Do you envisage a special unit? Do you have a special unit already? Or are you just going to say, look, they had board meetings, out of 20 people, 18 attended, they were all handsomely paid at these meetings, and that is it? I think you have got to take us into your confidence about what does the shareholder compact mean to roll out all of these things. Chair, I would venture to say it's going to be the responsibility of the portfolio committee to lead a process with the department on what I would term a discussion, a panel debate, whatever we want to call it, to discuss the development of the state. The entities are in a strategic position to show to us what and this is led by this department, whether we are on our way to realize a development of the state that will realize all of these things that they are saying in here. So, Chair, I think Parliament must give us money to run such a program. I further want to say, Chair, that again on legislation, if you look at all the legislation that covers the various entities, the majority of them talks about conversion. It does not spell out anything else. Are there any other intention of what you want to envisage the entity should be to prescribe that in the legislation? Because I don't think the current legislation gives you sufficient power to be doing all the things that you should. I can understand why at that point in time the legislation said that it wanted to, but life has moved on in South Africa. Many things have changed in the country also. Chair, we are at a disadvantage that we do not have before us the strategic plans and budgets of the entities as it speaks to your strategic plan and budget. The department will have to help us because we do not have anything to measure against what you're saying here about the entities and what they are saying to yourself. We can understand there are sensitivities of financial structures and all of it, but I do think that the Public Finance Management Act does tell us that we have the duty and the responsibility to have strategic plans and strategic plans in particularly before us. So Chair, I've gone through this thing and I've tried to see whether you have attempted to tell us what the strategic plans and budgets of the entities are, but I don't see it in here other than the Transnet plan, the Eskom plan, and so on. Have I end of the chair because you're going to give another round. I think the section that is there, the performance against 2010 and 2011, the strategic plan, I think the chair, we should welcome this initiative from the department because it gives us an insight into what you have promised us the last time and the progress that you are making with regard to that. We think you must continue with this and obviously more. We always want more in Parliament. And so I think this is a good initiative on giving us a progress report, and I'm sure when we have the annual report, you will probably give us a little bit more on this one. Having said that, Chair, under the restructuring of the NEL, maybe you must help us there. Tell us a little bit more there, because you say review of the NEL's business model to achieve commercial sustainability and so on. Now, those are good words, but it doesn't, that first sentence tells us what you're still going to do. It doesn't tell us you have been able to achieve that. You would know when we had the NEL before us the other day at the workshop, we had quite a sorry state of affairs in presented to us. You lastly, Chair, also say under the panel of the remuneration, again, we want to welcome the fact that you have done something. You're saying you're going to the cabinet now for endorsement on it. You could maybe assist us on how exactly you're going to roll out after the cabinet the very thorny matter in this regard. And very lastly, Chair, can you assist us, as I come back to my other questions later, on the pipeline problem? Honourable Borman, I thought you were going to help us here. On the pipeline issue, I think with Transnet, on the Transnet pipeline thing and the further extension of it, say tender again for this extension. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chair. Could I just ask another member to repeat the last question? I didn't hear what you said, the last words you said, the pipeline.
Sorry. May I, Chair? Now I'm saying on the Transnet pipeline issue, if there's a further extension of it and a bigger amount that is going to be used, was that put out on the tender?
Thank you, Honourable Member, for the wide range of set of questions. Thank you for the compliment, which should inspire us to do better going forward. There are two parts, I think, to the question that have been asked, and I'm going to ask my colleagues to assist. There are a set of questions that deal with what we have been doing, what the impact of that has been, where are the gaps, and how do we improve with regard to the shareholder role of the department. And I'll say a few things about that. Then there are a set of questions dealing with the future and the thought of that we are making, that what impact we need as a country is a paradigm shift on how we will be related to the authority, what sort of framework, strategic framework we put in place for their work, and how do we leverage them a lot more effectively as instruments of development as a whole. Each of these two dimensions of the question that we asked have got a lot of complexity and a lot of challenges. If I start with what the department has been doing,
availed itself to best practice. Because indeed, there is established norms, governance norms, internationally, you know, around how the state relates to enterprises that it owns. A lot of work is done in the OECD, where the government draws lessons and so on. So this logical planning framework, which we showed that slide, I think it's informed by best practice. By the way, it's not too long that this has been to stay. It's all still very new and challenging. So we, through that, I think have slowly found ourselves being able to sit together with the authority and say, let's look at what was planned, let's look at what was achieved, let's look at where the failures were and what are the reasons for the failure, and let's see how we correct that. I think this is a massive success, I think, of the department to be able to create a gateway where we can sit together. Now, we have to improve on that, because indeed, although we have created an opportunity to put together with this and engage, the outcomes of that are not always positive. They're not always positive, because at the end of the day, we in the department, we're not operational. We can only identify where the gaps are and so on. And of course, it goes back to the enterprise. I think there's enormous scope for us to ensure that the outcomes of the engagement that we have within those frameworks lead to, if you like, change of behavior, change of conduct, that we can observe the change of behavior over a period. And that if we don't, then as a shareholder, we need to exercise our prerogative to change. And that means changing the board. It must ultimately change the board if indeed, you know, a board systematically over time fails to attain whatever is agreed as the outcome. So, I just want to say it's still very recent. It's beginning to work in that gives us a framework to engage very robust and to give feedback. But we have some way to go. And I think that what I see as a period ahead and with the posture that the minister has taken is that we are going to be in for a massive engagement, robust engagement with the SOD. Because we have to accept that all of us that the performance, the track record, as it has been, and the failure score as it is, is untenable. Something has to give. And I think it's in regard to what must give, where we are focusing our minds as a department. And so, for example, we are saying perhaps we need to create additional moments of engagement which creates, and we're thinking about additional moments of engagement with the leadership where we can pretty much give them, you know, our own observations and feedback. So we maintain a steady, consistent guiding hand, as it were. Because in our position as a newcomer to this area, that yes, all of these things are very nice frameworks, benchmarks, globally, blah, blah, blah. However, in the oversight, a lot of slippage, And that slippage partly arises from the fact that when it comes to a crunch, sometimes there's massive resistance from the SOE. Massive resistance. And a lot of them have got the kind of resources to reserve that the department cannot match. They will bombard you with all manner of documentation, legal opinion, and so on, simply to contest and second guess your oversight role, as it were. If this was not in the public domain, in that under the media not yet, we could get a bit deep into this area. But the exercise of oversight is highly contested, and I think that you know, we are only going to see results and impact if the shareholder is a lot more assertive. So you know, as a newcomer, I've been trying to find where is this assertiveness of the shareholder that is clearly required, given what the track record and the results, you know, have been, you know, in the moment of SOE. And what does not always see it? So unless there's something that we are missing which prevents this, which is the reason why it's not really there, you know, we think there's scope to go in a big way and to delve in a bit deeper, to try to understand, you know, how these organizations operate, what are their challenges, and why they stay in crucial areas. We need to get in there. I think that's what an activist shareholder is. We're grappling with this notion of an activist shareholder, and so on. Now, I must say, which leads me, as I go to the second dimension, the challenges of that space, indicate that it's not always been partly because of internal failings and weaknesses in the management and the way these then entities are run. It's not always been there. So those are a big set of factors in that space. It's also been the policy regime. To say, what is exactly expected of the SOE? Because as I indicated, the policy has swung, starting with an indication in the first instance that they're going to be privatized, that a lot of them, you know, and we're preparing themselves to go in that direction. And you shift from there, but the shift is not as decisive as it ought to have been. And so they sit and watch what are the signals, where is the shareholder thinking, what is in the mind of the shareholder? And it's true to say that we have not always been clear. We have not always moved beyond the rhetoric, you know, of why SOEs are there and all of that. You know, tribe that in Eskom, it's only really where policy became clear that you shall be bringing on online additional capacity, that you begin to see the response and the investment. Otherwise, it was just simply to sit pretty with run-of-the-mill kind of activity. And in fact, a massive devaluation of those assets, as it were, and failure to respond to opportunities that were there in the economy for them to invest, and therefore underpinning growth, as it were. However, I think we are beginning to shift. I think that government, the message has been consistent and clear that SOEs are instrumental to growth, and that we've got to govern them effectively to ensure that they deliver on their mandate. So I think that policy direction is very clear. And therefore, in many ways, our work is cut out for us with regard to what exactly does that mean in practical terms. And I think that's what we, you know, the kind of paradigm shift that we are having there is in fact getting us in that direction. Because you then, as a shareholder, as a state, create this sort of environment and framework where those businesses, because at the end of the day, these are businesses, those businesses operate to the targets that you've set for them. It's got enormous complexity itself, again, and one does not pretend that it's going to be easy, but you've got to begin to shift the sheep, as it were. This is a massive sheep. That will take a long time to turn the direction, but we've got to start somewhere. And I think what is right, nobody's contesting this. The SOE is actually not contesting this. But I'm going to look at leadership. I'm going to look at the leadership from the department, the leadership from government, the leadership from the minister. And it's our job as a department to actually give them that leadership. So that's going to mean building on the platform that has been in terms of governance and embedding this new paradigm shift, creating new institutional mechanisms, you know, for oversight, what we call deep diving, colleague was doing some of the thinking for us here, you know, called deep diving. We must occasionally dive deep and get a feel for how things have been done entities. So, as other colleagues come in, I just wanted to, you know, set out as a sort of an approach and what we see. And so, yes, I can imagine with regard to the question of what can we expect new, we've heard this before, you know, this is a question that I'm grappling with